In this episode, I'm going to give you a really simple way to adopt video into your existing marketing and sales process.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Hey now. In a moment, you're going to find out how to adopt the most powerful business tool ever created into your existing marketing and sales process, and I'm going to do it in a way that I've never done before. I'm going to give you just a really simple first step, all right? And that'll happen after we get to the news, but first, here's the most important news of the week for video marketing masters. The Houston Chronicle reports a Dallas man, Dominique Green, incriminated himself by allegedly showing his drugs in a Facebook Live video. Now, Green now faces drug possession charges and among a bunch of other things, according to the newspaper. Hey, Neek, on your groundbreaking use of Facebook Live, no thumbs up for you. And to the listeners, we've had a really interesting couple of weeks around this office. We were approached by two different companies to do some type of marijuana-related videos, you know, something like a business that provides a service to the industry. And so as we were detailing out the videos, we had to list out what is going to be in scope and what is out of scope. And in the out of scope stuff, the client said specifically list, is there going to be a makeup person in scope or out of scope? And will transportation be in scope or out of scope, or craft services, which is the code word for food being on location? And on that list, in the things that are out of scope, I actually put in the proposal, weed is out of scope. And it's the first time in my career that I had to write down that Wirebuzz was not providing any type of dope for their video shoot. Rupert Murdoch, whose company Storyfold was discussed in last week's episode, episode 41 of Video Marketing Mastery, and now in episode 42, one of Murdoch's other businesses, Fox News, had an article about four ways to improve personal branding using Facebook Live. The reason is video marketing is for reals. You know, there's a huge demand for information as the power of video as a business tool becomes more and more adopted, and it starts becoming common knowledge that video rocks results. And if you're interested in reading the article, I've included a link to it on the show notes page, which you can access at wirebuzz.com/42. But candidly, article is really, really basic. If you're listening to this podcast, you're light years ahead of that article, but I wanted to see if I could work Rupert Murdoch back in to two back-to-back episodes. Successfully done. Interestingly enough, Fox News wasn't the only major news source to dip its toe into video marketing news this week. Entertainment Weekly wrote a story about how the first Gryffindor, Harry Potter creator J.K. Rowling, launched a charitable campaign using Facebook Live video. Now, originally, I thought Rowling was just a muggle, born without any sort of magical ability, until I read one of her books. She's definitely got magic inside her. So what's Rowling using Facebook Live for? Well, Rowling is continuing her charitable efforts with Lumos by launching a worldwide campaign called We Are Lumos Worldwide, and she's hosting a series of Facebook Live events taking place all over the world to help disadvantaged children leave orphanages and start their own lives. Now, I've got a really sweet spot in my heart for orphans. I have my entire life in episode 39, my No Sleep Till Brooklyn episode, I told you the story about my grandfather. But his wife was the person who absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, loved me the most. My grandmother practically raised me, and well, when she was 4 years old, back in 1923, shortly after her mom died while going through labor, my grandmother was left by her dad at a Brooklyn orphanage. And during the Great Depression, this took place. She lived there until she was 16, and she lived in the same facility with 3,200 other orphan kids. Now, my grandmother started without a family, and her life work can be summed up like this. She built a family that absolutely loves and cherishes their time together. So just to put things into perspective, in continuing my grandmother's tradition, I have five brothers and sisters that have been adopted from orphanages. The youngest are both still living in my parents' house. They're 17 and 21 years old, and my parents rescued them from Haiti 9 years ago when my folks were 65 years old. Now, the full impact of my parents' decision, you know, it really didn't hit me until a year later when my brother and sister's Port-au-Prince Haiti orphanage suffered serious damage during the big earthquake that happened in Haiti. And that's why I have so much appreciation for people like J.K. Rowling who are supporting orphanages. Look, if you want to learn more about her use of Facebook Live to help support orphans, just visit wirebuzz.com/42. Adweek is reporting Hillary Clinton just made the best use of a silent autoplay in a social video ad. And you know how on social networks like Facebook, the video autoplays? Well, the Clinton campaign did something really smart. Recognizing that autoplay happens on Facebook, they used a deaf activist that is asking voters to consider using their voice to vote in November. Now, it's really well done to see that video and to learn how they tell their story without using any audio. Just go to wirebuzz.com/42. An easy way to remember 42 is Ronnie Lott, the legendary NFL Hall of Famer. We're going to get to Ronnie Lott later on in this episode as I bring up episode 42 again. But the thing that I'm most interested in with these silent autoplay videos is how they fit into your Facebook feed, how they start to show you information. Think of something like Tasty. Are you familiar with Tasty on Facebook? So Tasty makes these really smart videos about how to make something that is tasty. Like maybe it's a tater tot waffle, right? A waffle made out of tater tots sounds like the most awesome thing I've ever heard. Or like a super deluxe Klondike bar with a lot of gooey yumminess on the inside. And Tasty breaks this down into like a 1, 2, 3, 4 step video that auto plays and you watch it, and just by watching it, it shows you all the steps and you don't have to listen to the video to get the knowledge. And that's kind of what the Clinton campaign did by encouraging people to have their voice heard. And they did it in a very evocative way. Now, I've got a client that that I just got off the phone with a few moments ago, and she made it very clear. She said, Todd, when you guys are working on this video, please know that I always want to make sure that if somebody's watching the video without their audio on, they get our core message. Now, that's really interesting. That's starting to play into the Facebook autoplay and using that autoplay to still give people who aren't watching it, or excuse me, aren't playing on it, the full advantage of the lesson that your video is going to tell. Make sense? Cool. Business Insider jumped into the video marketing topic this week by reporting that Apple has added a famous health video marketer to its staff. Okay, now this is pretty cool. Mike Evans, known on YouTube as Doc Mike Evans, has joined Apple to work on digital healthcare. Now, he might be best known for his videos where he narrates while an animated doctor gives health tips and advice. It's kind of whiteboardish, right? And some of his most popular videos have hundreds of thousands of views. Now, I'm particularly interested in Doc Mike because Wirebuzz has maybe 60% of our clients in the health space, and some of our most popular videos in the cancer space have gotten over 100,000, 150,000 views, and that's a lot of fun when you're playing in that territory. There's few people that you can learn from. Make sure you check out Doc Mike Evans. Gizmodo is reporting that YouTube is rolling out a program called YouTube Heroes. And it's their new moderation system where users who apply for and are accepted into the program will gain points, kind of like frequent flyer miles, but points for things like writing subtitles and reporting content that violates the community guidelines or sharing knowledge with others. Points can count for a gamified leveling system. YouTube's heroes will be added to flag troubling content, have access to beta testing new features, which I think is kind of interesting, and access to contact YouTube staff directly. And as anybody knows who's ever tried to contact a YouTube staffer, they're virtually impossible to get a hold of. I helped Google for years in a program like this. It was a lot of fun. I got access to speaking opportunities and inside information on where Google was going. And of course, a ton of free Google food when I was on campus. And when I say free food, I just pack that stuff in, because I got to make it all the way back home, right? Filled with my googly food inside my belly. And if you want to learn more about how you can become a YouTube hero, Visit this episode show notes. Of course, you can find it at wirebuzz.com/42. Just think Ronnie Lott. Business Insider reports Adidas ad agency says user retention on its Snapchat videos is insane compared to YouTube. Now, Dan Mosley, Adidas account director at We Are Social, was speaking at Social Media Week London, where he explained how retention rates for its Snapchat stories compared to its videos on YouTube and how Snapchat videos were doing much better. Now, Mosley explained that Snapchat's video audience retention regularly topped out at 80 to 90%, much higher compared to YouTube. Quote, "That's really important in showing that we can deliver something that people don't drop off on. Look, I made the mistake of reading this article before I went to bed last night, and it absolutely flipped me out. Because you know what's insane? The fact that Mosley is comparing the retention rate of a 10-second Snapchat video with the retention rate of a YouTube video that doesn't have a time limit. Now, Mosley's comments are like some guy bragging about his date victories based on his 10-second introduction, and then comparing his results to somebody else's date that may have ended the next day. Apples and oranges, Mosley. You can't compare two completely different things and call a 10-second Snapchat video a 90% retention a success. Does it boost ROI? Does it help convince and convert? Those are the parameters you should be looking at. From a video marketing perspective, I think this is pure lunacy. You can't compare retention or success this way. And if you worked for me, I'd refocus that attention on generating client ROI and conversions. Now that's the sign, the real sign of an effective video marketing campaign, and don't forget it. Our friends at Facebook, also known on this program as Zuckerbergians, tipped me off that Facebook Live will be rolling out to desktop and laptop devices, which I think is just absolutely awesome. And even though this development isn't a groundbreaking technological advancement, it's still really exciting for nerds like me to be able to host a Facebook Live event from our computer. You've got to love that. Maybe the biggest benefit will be having your computer's high-quality camera and screen facing the host, right? Originally, you could only use your cell phone. And if you're a video marketing master concerned about filming the highest quality of live streaming video possible, you'd have to shoot with your phone's higher quality camera. And that's the one that isn't on the same side as your screen. It's the non-selfie side camera. And I was hosting a Facebook Live training session yesterday with some clients who flew in from Texas to be here. And I basically had to show them that the camera on both sides of your phone, they're different. The one that is facing away from the screen is a camera that has twice the resolution quality as the selfie camera. So when you're doing something like a Facebook Live training and you're talking about using your mobile device, what you're really doing is you're pointing the camera, the phone's camera, at you, and now you don't have a screen to look at, right? So use a second device in order to access questions that your audience is asking or to frame yourself up. But now that Facebook's going to be rolling out Facebook Live access from desktops or laptops, well, that's a big time game changer for Facebook. So this new Facebook Live rollout will be very welcome, a nice progression. Well done, Facebooklers. Well done. Months ago on this very same podcast, I tipped you off that Twitter was going to be removing their 140-character limit for photos, videos, GIFs, and polls, also quoted tweets, and thankfully my crystal ball didn't fail me this week. Well, that news became official. All right, so let me tell you why this is valuable news for video marketers. Now you can be posting video on Twitter that doesn't interrupt or doesn't get in the way of your 140 characters. So you can write a compelling tease to that video. You can link to a landing page. You could use it in a way that allows you to get more message out without being deducted for every little item or every little character that would have normally taken up the space, right? I think it's really just an acknowledgement that Twitter's 140 character hard standing rule is doing more of a disservice to its long-term business goals. And the other thing, it's a real acknowledgement that Twitter is working on getting more and more video into its feed and into its business model, because as we've seen, all of the big movers and shakers in social, including the big Zuck and the people that run the show at Twitter, all want to become video first. Why? Because video gets the best results, the most shares, and the highest conversions. Cool? If you've been struggling to visualize how video fits into your marketing funnel, our friends at Convince and Convert wrote a really good article this week about the best video content for every step of the marketing funnel, and you can get access to that article at wirebuzz.com/42. If you want to know more about Convince and Convert, well, Jay Baer did an episode, and Jay Baer is the figurehead of Convince and Convert. He's a good friend of the podcast and a fellow University of Arizona alum like myself. And if you want to listen to the interview that we did with Jay Baer, it's about using video for thought leadership and customer service. It can be found at wirebuzz.com/9, episode 9. The USA Today is reporting Facebook and Twitter are competing head-to-head for live video viewership, each of them clinching deals to stream all three of the hotly anticipated presidential debates and the vice presidential debate all for free. Now, their goal is to get people to watch the debates on their social networks so they can pull ad dollars away from yesterday's media into today's new media channels. Make sense? It's the long, continuous theme that we've seen in almost every episode. And if you go back to episode 36, you're going to hear me talking about how the 2016 Rio Olympics were the first games to have larger online audiences than people that were watching on television. And I also made a bold prediction that this was going to happen in the presidential debates, football games, inaugurations. You know, online media is no longer the little kid on the block that can just be pushed around. They're now the market leaders, and that's why traditional networks are scrambling to cut deals with online social networks so they can justify the ad rates and the exposure that their content used to get. Just one of those examples happened this week, Monday Night Football. Their numbers, their audience ratings have declined by double digits from last year's Week 2 Monday Night Football game, and this represented the lowest viewership numbers since Monday Night Football moved to ESPN. And it's not because people aren't interested in football anymore. I mean, my God, come Monday, I am like geeked out. I'm like, I'm ready for some football, right? You are too. I know it. And the thing that's interesting is people have other options of where they can see the game. And if you're old enough to remember the transition that took place when we were kids, when cable was introduced, we were living through a really similar pattern that we're living through right now, where established networks are losing audience to new networks. That's the game. And as people move to a new place, that content and those ad dollars all move with it. It's a really exciting time to be an online marketer. All right, so now that we've covered the news video marketing masters would be most interested in, let's get back to adoption for a moment. And let's talk about how a business should adopt the most powerful business tools ever created into their existing marketing and sales process. Now, naturally, I'm talking about video. But whenever I talk about adopting new things, I always think about my grandmother who started her life in a Brooklyn orphanage. And when you start a new job, you too are adopting new things, new family members that you're going to see more than the people that are your real family. You know, you're going to adopt existing strategies, techniques, and tactics. And it's not where you got started, it's what you make of it, just like my grandmother's story. So get your paper and pen out. You know, I asked you to do that earlier, and let's walk through the process of getting started with video so it can have a big impact on your future. Now, I've never done this in a podcast episode before, but something that I think would be valuable to the new video marketer, where you're asking yourself, where do I get started, Todd? How do I build this in? So take out that paper, and I want you to write down the name of your biggest revenue-generating product or service. Just do that right on top, okay? Write it down. And because people who watch a product or a service video are 144% more likely to buy after watching than people who don't watch, you should be creating a product video just for your biggest revenue-generating item. That's where I would get started. Write the name of that product or service on the top of the paper, all right? And when you're done with that, a product overview video should tell a very persuasive story about the problems your product or service solves, right? We're all in the problem-solving business. And the best products solve a problem, but can do it in a very persuasive way. And the video's length should be just long enough to explain the main feature of your videos and not a second longer. This isn't about an ideal amount of time, and people push me on time all the time. Well, Todd, should it be 87 seconds? No, it should be just long enough to tell a very compelling message and not a second longer. And don't try to be like it should be X number of minutes. Every product is different. Just be succinct, be to the point, and only tease your best three product features. Okay? You can tease the other product features later on, but in this product overview video, just your best three. Then I want you to write a line underneath the name of that product or service. Draw a line right there, all right? Now in this next section, I want you to write down the 3 to 4 most common questions that your customers have about the product or service that we're going to be creating a video about, all right? And if you need to put me on pause just for a moment, I think you should do it. Let's do it. We don't normally do this in this podcast, but if you need to put me on pause while you're brainstorming the 3 to 4 frequently asked questions that come up the most, I'm totally fine if we take a break right about here. You know, my wife's a yoga instructor, and when you put me on pause, I can tell her that I actually meditated today multiple times. Cool? All right. I'm ready to be put on pause mode right now. Hey, that was long enough. I totally feel refreshed right now. Each of those 3 to 4 frequently asked questions should be created into their own separate short video, all right? And by short, I mean 1 to 3 minutes long. A video will typically have about 150 words per minute, so don't go over 450 words. Just kind of use that as your like train tracks. Keep it at just the right amount of length. You know, it's just too much for people to process if you go too far, and we're all riddled with ADD now because of our devices and the interruptions that we get from our notifications on our computer or our email or our phone. And if your goal is to optimize the way you convince and you convert your prospects, just give them something easy to digest. You know, much like Thanksgiving dinner, if you feed them small portions, they're going to come back for more. Give them something easy to digest, they'll come back for more. It works that way every single time. Now, then when each of your frequently asked questions are done and you've created the videos, they're short, they're succinct, they've got a member of your team talking to the camera or a voiceover, and you're showing the product. What I want you to do is post each video on its own separate page on your website, its own individual unique page. And please make sure to search engine optimize those videos. And if you need help getting started on where to SEO or how to SEO the videos, Wirebuzz created a free downloadable YouTube SEO ebook that's available only to the listeners of this podcast, and you can get access to it at wirebuzz.com/YouTube-SEO. And the reason you want each video on its own individual landing page is because you want that page indexed separately on Google, so it can be found when prospects are searching online. And the other reason that each video should be on its own page on your website is the next time a prospect asks one of your salespeople one of those frequently asked questions, you want your salesperson to answer that question in real time in front of them. And then after they leave that meeting, you want them to be able to share a link in an email. John, it was great talking with you minutes ago. Here's a quick link to the same question that I answered for you, but here's a member of my team answering it also. And the reason you want to do this, and you want to reinforce that pushback or that common objection by letting them see it again, is it moves them from one place to the next place in the sales process. You've basically moved them off of that safe lily pad onto the next lily pad closer to conversion, all right? The reason I use lily pad terms is I think like Frogger when you're talking about sales. So what we're basically doing is using these videos to help move people through your Frogger path to get to the other side, all right? Plus, your team is not going to be in the room when your prospects make the final decision about your product or your service. But a very smart strategy is having videos about that product or that service and also your most common frequently asked questions, because videos, as you know, are three times more likely to be shared than text. And video will then be sent. So when your prospect's making a decision, people don't walk out on a plank anymore and dive out into the ocean by themselves. They huddle up a team. They show them the information. They process it, because you're not going to be there when that happens. But your video, your quick introduction video about your overview video about your product or service will be. And it'll be representing you in the best light possible. And so will the videos about your common objections or your pushback. Those videos are controlled arguments. So you'll do a much better job convincing and converting when you're using them with video. All right. Now that's how I want you to think about initial early adoption. Think about how it can help you generate revenue quicker with the prospects that you already have that are already in your sales funnel, and how you convince and convert them at faster and faster rates. Once you've got that part, then you can think about your next service line. Does that make sense? All right. So if you're listening to this podcast in your car, don't pull over. Just proceed ahead. All this information is going to be in the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/42. And, 42 is one of my favorite numbers. It was a dice drinking game. If you got on 42 when I was a kid, you'd yell out Ronnie Lott. Ronnie Lott is the baddest of the badasses to ever play in the NFL. He's a Hall of Famer. When I was a young digital marketer and I was running digital marketing for seven of the largest nationally syndicated talk shows, one of them was the largest sports show in the country. And for those of you that have spent time in the jungle, Jim Rome was one of my clients. And one day I remember Ronnie Lott in studio, and that guy is badass. Christo, he's missing half of his ring finger, and he showed it to me. And he broke the finger in a game but didn't want to be taken out. So he continued to play in the game, and as such, he has half of a finger on that hand. Freaky, right? I get a hangnail, I'm out. Get me some orange slices and some high C. I'm going to sit off to the side. And the difference between a stud like Ronnie Lott, number 42, and an NFL player today, NFL players today lose fingers holding on to fireworks and explosives and then try to hide it from their team. It's a whole different world nowadays. Ronnie Lott, number 42, is all about winning. So in this episode, here's what we learned. We learned don't show your drugs in Facebook Live, and I'm sorry that I didn't warn you guys about that earlier. We also found out that Harry Potter creator J.K. Rowling launched a charitable campaign using Facebook Live. We discussed Hillary Clinton's really smart use of silent autoplay social video ads. You now know that Apple has added a famous health video marketer, Doc Mike Evans, to their team working on digital healthcare. We talked about how YouTube was rolling out a moderation program called YouTube Heroes. I teed off on Adidas ad campaign because they were making some ridiculous comparison about user retention on their Snapchat videos compared to user retention on YouTube videos. They were comparing apples and oranges as if they are the same thing. We learned that Zuckerbergians are rolling Facebook Live out to desktop and laptop users. Twitter officially removed their 140-character limit for photos, videos, GIFs, polls, and quotable tweets. That's huge for video marketers. We discussed how Facebook and Twitter are competing for live video viewership during the presidential and vice presidential debates. We also learned how Monday Night Football viewers on ESPN TV have declined by double digits from a year ago, as more viewers are now watching their football online. And I gave you a very basic way to adopt video into your existing business's marketing or sales process. And we also checked the box, had another episode where yours truly sang for you. I sure did. Now, getting started is often the most difficult part. So to help you create the right videos for your business, Wirebuzz created a topic selection worksheet for our audience, and it can be downloaded at wirebuzz.com/topics. That's wirebuzz.com/topics. And if you like this show, you can now subscribe on Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes. And if this podcast was valuable to you and and you wouldn't mind doing me a favor, please leave a really honest rating and review on the podcast platform that you subscribe to. You'd really be helping me out. If you have any video marketing questions, a topic you'd like featured on this podcast, or if you'd like to suggest an expert that maybe I should be interviewing, yourself included, just go to wirebuzz.com/pitch. And really what you're doing when you go to wirebuzz.com/pitch is you're pitching to me what you have in mind. Cool? And in the meantime, we'll continue to do the best work possible to bring you the latest information that can keep you developing into a video marketing master.